Voice of America and live from the G&B Show Studio. This is your Ghost Benedict Hunter Show.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only, mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, Demon Hunter!
Yes, that's me, the Demon Hunter. You can call me the Demon Hunter. Some people call me the Demon Hunter.
Some people call
me the Space Cowboy.
Some people
call me the Gangster of Love.
See? Stealing some thunder off of our, what was that, Eagles? That wasn't Eagles. I don't know. I don't know my old music from your time. Anyway, guys, this is your mystifying Oracle Radio. Happy Thanksgiving, almost. Shadow Nation, it's right around the corner. Everybody's excited. Nathan?
I'm excited.
I'm excited on this fine Sunday night.
I'm embarrassed you don't know the Steve Miller Band, but...
Oh, yeah, the only song I know from Steve O. Miller Band is Abracadabra. Classic.
There you go.
It's a classic, sir. I don't care what you're talking about. What do you think?
I never care about anything you talk about, so we're even.
That's true. We are even. Anyway, guys, welcome back to studio. And like I said, it is the show before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is this Thursday. I'm so excited. I'm so happy. Thanksgiving's really a great time for the G&D show, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, and the Shadow Nation, the fans of the show, to get together and, break some bread, watch some television, and just
This is kind of a historic Thanksgiving show, Sean, since normally we can't find anyone to come on the show the week of Thanksgiving, so we just do a show you and me, but this year we actually have a guest.
We do have a guest. One year we had a show where we just sat there talking for an hour or whatever, which that was a good show, too. We talked for an hour.
It's not like we don't get to just talk to each other an hour every week on the radio anyway.
That's true. So how was your pre-Thanksgiving Sunday, huh? Have you had a good one so far?
I went shopping for a turkey.
Oh! I got a turkey in studio with me.
Nah!
I do a radio show with a turkey.
Yes.
Anyway. The true story of Thanksgiving, Nathan. Huh? What are you thankful for this year? I think you need to... What are you going to be thankful for? That we started on time tonight. I want to point that out.
Yes, we started on time. We fixed a hum.
We did fix a hum, didn't we? Guys, we fixed the hum. They don't know.
Sean is like working on hummers every day before the show.
Layman's terms for people that don't understand sexual humor.
Hummer
is a vehicle.
Yes, large.
Yes, it is. Anyway, I haven't done nothing this weekend. Sitting around the house, had the kids this weekend, did a whole...
I noticed you and your daughter were recreating scenes from the movie Purge.
Yeah, well, that's what we do with the weekend. It gets boring. We go out and grab people and purge the nation, you know.
There you go. Teaching them young. That's good.
Well, it's something you got to do. Thanksgiving bell. Tonight it's the Thanksgiving bell. Not the G&D show bell. Do you have a Thanksgiving bell, Nathan?
I don't have a Thanksgiving bell. I have a New Year's bell.
A New Year's?
A Thanksgiving bell.
Are you going to be at work this New Year's?
Probably.
Yeah, probably me too. That sucks. People, listen, Shadow Nation, everybody around the world that can hear our voices right now, nobody should be forced to work on New Year's. You should be off at least those 2 hours from... 11, let's say hour and a half, from 11:30 to 12 to 1. Let's do that.
The country should just shut down.
They should shut down to show appreciation, because who wants to be bringing in the new year doing stuff that you did in the old year, you know?
And you know, Sean, outside of radio, which you and I do because we love it, we can't totally call it a job since we don't make very much. We lose money doing it, really.
We've had a lot of good leads off of this. A lot of
my day job also includes entertainment, and I was sitting in my office the other day, and somebody called and asked if my company would be open. By the way, folks, I never say who I work for on the show. It's just bad news. I don't want them to contact me one day and say, now you're connected to this company. We don't want you to say anything to embarrass us.
Yeah.
So I never say who I work for, but I do work for the entertainment industry. And I'm an exotic dancer, I'll admit it. And but they called and asked if we'd be open for Thanksgiving. And
yeah.
Said, yes, we will. And they went on a tirade on me, saying that it was unfair that we should force our employees to work on Thanksgiving.
It
and blah,
is.
Blah, blah. And I was like, but this is the entertainment industry. Hmm. It's where everybody goes when they have off. Why? We're open.
I guarantee you that'll be the same person wanting services during that day.
Yeah, it's
you know. Oh wow. I mean, yeah.
Oh, good grief.
That's right. Charlie doesn't subscribe to your propaganda.
I know.
Either.
I know.
People shouldn't have to work on Thanksgiving though. A lot of places are closed. I know the Hobby Lobby. A lot of times, they don't work on Sundays, Nathan.
Who don't?
The Hobby Lobby. Do you have those out in Richland?
We don't have those. We have Chick-fil-A now, which isn't open on Sundays.
Chick-fil-A, absolutely. They don't do Sundays because they're Christian-owned, right?
Yeah, they're the owners of the original owners of the company are a Christian-based family. Didn't want felt that it was important that people have off on Sunday. So.
Right. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Granted, the people that work there are probably like, Jesus, we want Friday, Saturday off, and they give us. It's probably their one day a week they get, you know.
But hey, it pays for you and me to have a Sunday off since we come here and work.
It does. I mean, that's the one thing you can count on in your line of work, that you'll get at least one day off a week.
Yeah, at least one.
Yeah. So what else is going on, man?
Oh, let's see. Bought a turkey, went around and looked for some Christmas decorations.
How big the turkey did you buy?
20 pound.
20 pound? How big a turkey can you buy? How big do they grow?
I imagine you can, I mean, in the stores, you can usually pick them up around 25 pounds and maybe right around there, but that's about as big in the stores as they usually come, because who's going to buy a 30-pound turkey? If they are going to buy a 30-pound turkey, they're going to get it special, you know? It's.
Yeah, but I mean, how big a turkeys do they have? I mean, how big can they, what's the world record on largest turkey?
World record on largest turkey.
Yeah, I mean, do you think they, you know how they clone, not clone, but they, what do they do when they make big tomatoes and crossbreed or whatever, pollinate?
I don't know. I do know, like, people question all the time the chickens that they feed antibiotics to.
Yeah.
And the reason they feed the antibiotics to the chickens is it makes them grow twice as fast. So, you know, when you go into the store and you buy a rotisserie chicken on the side there, that chicken's probably 6 weeks, 8 weeks old.
Yeah.
You know, because they're just trying to grow chickens super fast to keep up with the low-cost rotisserie chickens people buy in the stores.
Yeah. Well, since the question posed that you totally tried to beat around because you don't know the answer,
you want to know the world's record for the largest turkey.
I got it. What is the world's largest turkey ever recorded? Demon Hunter.
Ever ever?
Yeah.
Like, since, like, the beginning of time?
Yeah.
Since turkeys, like when dinosaurs reduced themselves in size and started growing feathers? And
that's what it says at Cool Dude Stuff, where I found this. So what's the largest turkey ever recorded? Let's see.
I'd say probably...
How many pounds?
What's that?
How many pounds?
Well, all right, you got me here. It's because I would have to say...
You gotta make a guess.
I'm not going to go so high as, like, 100 pounds. I'll say somewhere probably between 80 and 90 pounds.
80 and 90. Let me write it down. 80 and 90 pounds. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to say closer to... Well, I don't know. I'm looking at it. I can't play. According to the Guinness Book of Records, Demon Hunter, Shadow Nation, the heaviest, which is close enough to the largest turkey in the world, belongs to a turkey farmer. Philip Cook of Lee Croft Turkeys.
Okay.
You ever heard of that?
I have not.
The record itself was actually set at the annual heaviest turkey competition, makes sense, of London in 1989. Mr. Cook's prize-winning turkey name was Tyson, huh? And weighed in at a record-setting, ready?
Yeah.
86 pounds.
See?
Mmm.
I was actually kind of going off of emu kind of size on that. So,
which it was auctioned off for charity, earnings a record of $6,692 for this bird.
Wow.
Talk about having some leftovers.
Well, you know, the average American turkey, since we went into this, in 2012, the average American turkey was registered at about 16 pounds.
Yeah.
So, I guess you'd have to buy what?
Wow.
Six of them to equal Tyson there?
I don't know. Yeah, you'd have to. Do the math. Let's see here. I got something else here.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of sayings around Thanksgiving. Things we say, you know, around the dinner table, things like that. The top 10 things that sound dirty on Thanksgiving. Yeah, you want to play?
Sure.
You sure?
All sexual right. Harassment is no joke, sweet cans.
Number 10, Demon Hunter. Okay. Go ahead, tell me what you think might be dirty. Give me some suggestions that you say around Thanksgiving to deal with Thanksgiving, specifically like the dinner and stuff, or, you know, things you watch on TV, you know, traditional.
I don't know, have anything to base the question on. I'll say the first dirtiest thing I think of is sticking your hand up the turkey's butt.
Ah! Number 10, just reach in and grab the giblets.
Not bad, hey, not bad.
Not bad. You got number 10. Yeah, I like that. Give me a number 9. What do you think? 10 things that sound dirty on Thanksgiving. Something you would say to possibly a kid at the dinner table.
Something you would say possibly to a kid at the dinner table.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
I
don't have kids, so.
Let's see here. Number 9, don't play with your meat.
Oh.
Yeah, so you missed
that.
Well,
that's dirty any day at the dinner table.
You get 10 points for picking number 10. You get 0 on number 9 you fell. And number 8, let's see here. I'm in the mood for a little, what do you think?
Stuffing?
I'm in the mood for a little dark meat.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay.
You know what that's referenced to. Yeah. Dark.
How was I supposed to get that?
Do you have any thoughts on so that's
now everybody's going to say I'm racist because I didn't think of dark meat.
You are racist. Why do you have to exclude dark meat turkeys? Or dark meat
part of the turkey? Told you. Actually, I always go for the dark meat.
Me too. Dark meat's good. Okay, number 7. Just spread the legs open and
stuff it.
You got it. 10 points for number 7. Just spread the legs open and stuff it in. Actually, I shouldn't take that. I should. Wait, I'm gonna subtract 2 points. So I'm gonna give you 8. I'm gonna give you 8 for number 7 because it said technically and stuff it in, and you said and stuff it, right? Yeah. Okay. Well, in is what you forgot, so I subtract 2.
One point for each letter.
Yeah. Okay, number 6, top 10 things that sound dirty on Thanksgiving. Talk about a blank breasts. I'm going to say it. Breast.
Huge.
Yeah, you got it. Straight up 10 for number 6. Number 6 is talk about a huge breast! Exclamation mark. Okay, number 5. Number 5, and he forces his way into the... This would be something you would watch. And he forces his way, John, into the...
End zone.
Ah, I gave it to you. I did help. Let's make it a 9, not a 10.
I get 5 for that one because it was an assist?
No, you get 9. I give you 9. I'm a fair man. Okay, number 4, top 10 things, dirty, sound Thanksgiving. It's a little dry. Do you still want to...
Eat it?
Oh, you got a number 10 on that one, buddy. You're zinging through them now.
I'm trying.
Okay. Number 3, you still have a little blank on your chin. Think about it now. You still have a little bit blank. Well, blank on your chin.
It could go either way. It could be gravy or juices. So I'm...
Oh, yeah? You think so? Cranberries. You still have a little bit of cranberries on your chin.
See, that doesn't seem dirty.
Doesn't sound dirty, does it? Cranberries? I don't get it. Okay. Well, 0 for you on that one. Nice try, though. Number 2, if you don't unbutton my pants, I am going to...
explode.
Zero burst.
Oh.
Oh, my God. You're going out. You're going out, man. You're fading. Okay.
Fans are going to beat me.
Mm-hmm. Shadow Nation will not tolerate this kind of craziness. Number one, Demon Hunter, top 10 things that sound dirty on Thanksgiving to say. How long do I blank blank
for?
Blank blank before it's ready.
Oh. How long?
Think about it. Think about how long do I blank blank before it's ready. Choose wisely here. You got one. You've got 10, 10, 9, 8, 10. So you've missed 1, 2, 3, 4. And you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So this one.
This is the deciding factor.
This is it, right, man. Here. This is it. Okay.
Say the line again.
I'm going to say the line again. You can't call for help. You've already used your lifeline. I helped you on that number 4. How long do I blank blank before it's ready? Do. What do you think?
Huh? Silence, if you please.
Yeah. Hoo-ah. How long do I blank blank before it's ready?
I'm trying. I really am trying. It's not
six.
Like I'm
trying to help you here.
I know you are.
I'm ready for
I don't want to lose this one. I want to get this one. I
you can't do it.
Punch you in the mouth.
Number one. Top 10 things that sound dirty on Thanksgiving. How long do I be? Can I answer?
I'm still thinking, and this makes for bad
how long can
radio.
How long do I blank blank before it's ready? Do, 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 do.
How long do I...
Hoo-ah!
Baste blank. It.
Huh?
How long do I baste it?
Is that your final?
That's my final answer.
You sure?
Punch you in the mouth.
Ew, you lose, my friend. 0 points on number one. How long do I beat it before it's ready?
Oh.
Nathan lost this year's top 10 things that sound dirty on Thanksgiving. Let's see here. You got one, two, three, four, five.
I was trying to think of anything I could that had to do with cooking on Thanksgiving.
Well, technically.
And I failed. I failed the G&D Nation. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Now nobody's going to want me to be in their top 10 if they play how to Do You Want to Be a Millionaire.
How to beat it.
So they don't want me to be a lifeline.
Hey, Demon Hunter, before we go much further, what do you say we get into tonight's guest?
I don't know. That sounds dirty, too.
It does. Get into the nights. You heard the man, Shadow Nation. Here we go. Ready for this? All right, guys. Shadow Nation, listeners around the world. Tonight's guest from the books, author of the books, The Nephilim Chronicles, Fallen Angels in the Ohio Valley. Also, The Nephilim Chronicles, a tour's guide to ancient ruins and other stuff. Author Fritz Zimmerman, all-around adventurer, is going to stop by. He's going to tell us what it's like to be on the trail of these ancient beings that are believed to be in these mounds all over the Ohio Valley, as well as the United States and world. Did angels mate with human women to make these angelic beings that roamed the planet at one time? And are we on the trail by digging up their bones right now? We find out tonight from author of The Nephilim Chronicles and Nephilim Chronicles tour guide to ancient ruins, author Fritz Zimmerman. Yeah, Fritz Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you see, Kyle?
Yeah. He's a good friend of the show, actually. He's been on once before, and he's so intriguing that the Shadow Nation asked for him again. So that's our Thanksgiving present to these guys.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving gifts. Here you go, folks.
I said present.
Unwrap it.
Oh, you missed a note.
What you drinking?
Unwrap it. I was taking a drink of water. You always stop when I'm... Anyway, Demon Hunter... What do you got for Thanksgiving? Do you got anything to talk about? Because I do. I got something.
Go ahead. Tell me what you got.
Well, you know, we had our friend on last week, Manny Souza from The American Scream. And I had posted...
I understand he's taken down his Halloween decorations and he's feeling depressed.
I seen that. I did see that on Facebook. That's sad. Manny, hold on. You only have so many months till...
11 more months to go.
Yeah, 11 months. That's not bad.
Almost 10 now. So.
Well, I posted on Facebook this week, Demon Hunter. Little inside scoop to the ghost man. I always wanted to, and before I die, I will. Set on Plymouth Rock while eating a turkey pot pie.
That's your goal, huh?
Yeah, that's on my bucket list. Maybe I'll do that wearing a Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show t-shirt. I'm sure we'll get lots of press since I'll be arrested. I think it's caged in. But I was looking it up because how much do you really know, Demon Hunter, about Plymouth Rock?
I don't know a lot about it.
You really don't?
It's not really the first place they landed, though, is it? It's
Okay. Well, let's look at it here.
Give me some history.
The real story behind Plymouth Rock, Demon Hunter. Look up this, too, while I'm reading it. Manny said that the rock is now sinking. Will you look that up while I read this? Okay, great.
Sure.
The real story behind Plymouth Rock, even though its historical province is dubious, Plymouth Rock has had tumultuous... Oh, God! I messed that up. I don't know what this is. It's had a wild history on all of it. It's had a wild history all to itself. After emerging as a colonial symbol of liberty, the stone has been moved from place to place, split in two, and whittled away by souvenir hunters. Yeah. Still, the pilgrims... landing place endures. As America celebrates Thanksgiving, explore the real history of Plymouth Rock, it says. I guess it wants you to go out there. Two words inevitably cross the lips of first-time visitors to Plymouth Rock. That's it. Yes, Plymouth Rock never fails to underwhelm, leaving tourists struck by disappointment rather than awe, Demon Hunter. But don't blame the rock. America's most famous piece of granite is simply a victim of outsized expectations. The overhype legend surrounding the pilgrim's supposed landing place conjures visions of the Rock of Gibraltar. The reality, however, is that the country's birthstone is a mere boulder. I didn't know that. I didn't know that until a couple years ago. No, no. And there's an inconvenient truth, it says, Demon Hunter, that no historical evidence exists to confirm Plymouth Rock as the pilgrim's stepping stone to the New World.
Well, I mean, honestly, if you were landing on a new land for the first time, would you try and find a boulder to climb up when you got there?
Well, if it was a boulder, but it's been split and stuff like that, so... Anyway, leaving aside the fact that the pilgrims first made landfall on the tip of Cape Cod in November 1620, before sailing to safer harbors in Plymouth the following month, William Bradford and his fellow Mayflower passengers made no written references to setting foot on a rock as they disembarked to start their settlement on the new continent. It wasn't until 1741, 121 years after the arrival of the Mayflower, that a 10-ton boulder in Plymouth Harbor was identified as the precise spot where the pilgrim's feet first trod. The claim was made by a 94-year-old Thomas Fonts, a church elder who said his father, who arrived in Plymouth in 1623, and several of the original Mayflower passengers assured him the stone was the specific landing spot where the elderly Fonts heard that a wharf was to be built over the rock. He wanted a final glimpse. He was conveyed by chair. Wait, he was conveyed by chair 3 miles from his house to the harbor, where he reportedly gave Plymouth Rock a tearful goodbye. Whether Fonts' assertion was accurate, oral history, or the figment of doddering old mind, we won't know. And if Fonts indeed was telling the tall tale about the humble chunk of granite, he broke the cardinal rule of American mythology: when you make stuff up, go big. Really big. So that's it. We don't know. That's crazy. For years, the stuff they don't tell you in school.
They don't teach you any of that. Hey, Sean, did you know that Thanksgiving is actually responsible for the TV dinner?
Really?
It is. In the late November 1953, the food company, C.A. Swanson & Sons, had a problem. They had completely overstocked on turkey meat.
Oh, no.
And Thanksgiving had already passed. With 260 tons of turkey, the company found that their employees had challenged their employees to come up with an idea to sell this turkey meat.
Yeah.
And The idea was to prepare pre-made Thanksgiving dinners and holiday meals for single people.
Oh, wow.
And so Gary Thompson and actually sued, I believe it it goes on to lawsuits that it were involved with the whole idea and everything like that. But they actually, their first TV dinner was a TV dinner of like turkey and cranberries and mashed potatoes and peas.
Yeah, yeah.
To put out there for single people to have their holiday meals.
That's crazy. Things you never knew.
No.
Wow. So, Swanson.
Yeah, Swanson.
Swanson too.
Swanson and Sons.
Swanson and Sons. All right. Oh, you know
and,
how we're...
I guess Gary... And actually, it wasn't even sold for the idea of just like single people. One of their salespeople, I guess, Gary Thompson, was a shrewd salesman for the company. Sold the first TV meals to the Pan American Airways.
Wow, to hand out on the flight for Thanksgiving.
Yep, and so for during the holiday season, they could serve these pre-made holiday meals, and that's how the TV dinner was actually invented.
That's very interesting.
There you go.
I like that.
And you know, Sean and I, being men who have lived from time to time on our own, have eaten many a TV dinner.
Yes, I like Hungry Man. The chicken. Hungry Man chicken's always... What's your favorite?
I know you like Hungry Man.
I do. What's your favorite TV dinner? What's it consist of? Salisbury steak?
My favorite TV dinner was... they actually don't make it anymore that I know of. It was by a company called Budget Gourmet.
Yeah.
And it was their pepper steak.
Really?
Yeah.
It must have been too good.
It was too good, man. I used to keep a freezer full of them. That was my favorite thing to eat.
We'll see. That's healthy. 10 best Thanksgiving movies, Demon Hunter. 10 best Thanksgiving
movies. Sock it to me.
Sock it to you. I don't know about that one. Number 10, Alice's Restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah, I have no idea. Apparently, it's a recreation made about a song.
You can have anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.
What? Would you know about that?
Of course I know about that.
Never heard of it.
You've never heard of Alice's Restaurant?
Never. Tell me the story. I want to hear it here.
Well, a couple friends go to see their friend Alice, who lives in the church, for Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
Alice lives in the steeple of the church, and since they had left all their garbage down in the bottom of the church, her friends decide to take the garbage to the dump. But when they get to the dump, they realize the dump was closed.
Okay.
Now, they'd never heard of a dump being closed on Thanksgiving before, so with tears in their eyes, they went off to find a place to get rid of the garbage.
That's it?
Well, they can't find any place to get rid of the garbage,
okay. So
they dump it off of a cliff
and
return to the church to finish their Thanksgiving with Alice when the police arrive.
Okay.
I can't believe you've never heard Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant.
It sounds like I'm glad I didn't.
Oh, man, it's about 18 minutes of sheer storytelling fun.
Oh, my God. And it's all about
the
trash.
Music.
So why were they crying?
Marsha.
That the landfill was
closed. If you had a truck full of garbage on Thanksgiving, wouldn't you be crying?
I guess. I don't believe it. I don't think that even is a show. I think it.
But you can have anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. And I highly recommend going out and finding one of the many, many, many versions of Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant.
Listen to you. You probably just Googled it. Okay, number 9. Best Thanksgiving movies, Demon Hunter. Dutch. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I did like Dutch.
Yeah, the guy from Married with Children. He did the 1991 comedy about a meat and potatoes construction worker that went out with a ritzy chick that just recently got divorced from her ritzy husband. And he has to get the kid from military school and drive him back, and they bond. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
That's a Netflix original.
Yeah, I remember that. Right in the time of when Married with Children was at its peak.
Yeah. What about this? Pieces of April, number 8.
Never heard of it.
I don't know. I would think cannibals eating Thanksgiving dinner, Pieces of April. I don't know.
Ooh.
I'm just saying. If you had to eat a human, let's say somebody told you had to, for Thanksgiving dinner, you had to eat at least one piece of the human body. I'm not saying you're a cannibal. I'm just saying if you were, and you had to eat one piece of the human body for Thanksgiving, and you'd be a Well, first off, would you eat a piece of human flesh for $20 billion?
For $20 billion?
Well, no, let's say for $1 million. $1.5 million, would you eat? Let's start there. Would you eat a piece of human?
Probably not. I could never forgive myself for doing it.
Okay. Not where they were alive, Mike.
No. But I mean, even if it was cured and processed and the meat had been checked for diseases and all this.
Okay.
First of all, it's really unhealthy. And second of all, morally, I would not be able to forgive myself.
Liar! Okay, so for 1.5, okay, let's go up to $10 million. Would you eat a piece of human flesh? Human leg or thigh or whatever. Let's say the human...
I honestly think, dude, to get over the whole mindset of the fact that it was human flesh, yeah. I would have to be tricked into doing it. I don't think I could physically force myself to eat human flesh for any cost.
Whatever. $20 billion. Would you do it then? Huh? $20 billion. Would you eat a piece of a human being if they offered? They said, here, I want you to have this. Happy Thanksgiving. Would you eat, like, the rear?
I think if I was starving and had to eat something, I would give in, like, almost anybody. But I don't think I could bring myself morally. If I had a full belly and they just handed me this piece of meat and said, it's human flesh, if you eat it, we'll give you $20 billion. I don't know if I could. Maybe I would, but I think I'd probably vomit it right back up just from the mental aspect of knowing it was human flesh.
Oh, my God. You just admitted on our radio show you're a cannibal.
I could be. And I mean, after all, we did see that it could be cooked very well on The Walking Dead a few weeks ago.
That's true. It was medium. Anyway, number 8, Pieces of April. Don't know how we got into that. 10 best Thanksgiving movies. Number 7, The New World. Huh?
The New World.
Yeah. This apparently got swelling instrumentals and gripping narratives made The New World a compelling recount of Thanksgiving. Settlers were heard about since early childhood. At the heart of this movie is a story of love found and lost back in Pilgrim days, I guess. Huh?
Okay.
Yeah, let's see here. Okay, number 6, Pocahontas.
I suppose Pocahontas could be considered a Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah, I guess. 1995 Disney animated film offers a fictionalized look at Native American Pocahontas. So.
Little inside information on Pocahontas. When the movie came out, none of all of the big-time animators for Disney wanted to work on the film, so they pretty much all ignored a small film that was being made on the side where all the newcomers and animators worked on, and that was called The Lion King.
The Lion King. That was a good one. That was a classic.
It blew Pocahontas out of the water when it came to sales.
Except for the sexual... images put into...
Oh, come on. One time.
They did, though, didn't they? The sexual... they put...
Let's face it. If you look through Disney's history, the animators try and stick something sexual into all of their films.
Stick something sexual and Disney in the same sentence. Home for the Holidays, number 5.
Home for the Holidays. Okay.
Apparently Robert Downey Jr.'s in it. Dylan McDermott. Anna Bancroft. Never heard of. Another Thanksgiving.
I've never heard of it either, so we're even.
Anyway, it's supposed to be on Thanksgiving marathons all over the world on Turkey Day. Never heard of it. Okay, that was number 5. Number 4, Son-in-Law with Pauly Shore.
Never saw it.
Yeah. Oh, that's when he's a city boy and he comes to the country and he loves his country girl, so he tries to act like a farmer, you know. You remember how Pauly Shore was, though.
Yeah.
Weasel or whatever. Okay, number 4, Son-in-Law. Number 3, The Blind Side. You heard that about the football guy?
Heard of the movie, never saw it.
A great movie. You got to see it. Was it? Plus, it's got Sandra Bullock in it.
Oscar got Sandra's Bullock.
I wish. Okay, that was number 3. Number 2, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Classic.
I have seen it, but I saw it so long ago. I saw it when it came out. Wow. So.
Oh, my God. Steve Martin, John Candy.
Where's your hand between two pillows? Those aren't pillows.
What about those bears? Number 1, A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
Well, yeah.
Peppermint Patty and the gang, yeah.
Yeah. You got a feel for Charlie Brown on that one. He gets so kind of forced into that situation.
He did get forced into it, didn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know. Charlie Brown. Anyway, Demon Hunter.
Ghost Man.
It's that time.
What time?
It's time for G&D Show in the news.
In the news?
Yeah. It's always fresh. It's always exciting. And it's straight from the G&D Show vault. And it starts right
now.
Ooh, I was early on that tonight. Usually I'm dragging it out, remember?
Yeah, well, you do tend to drag things out, so.
Oh, well, sometimes.
Oh, well, sometimes.
Ah! All right. We got news for the week before Thanksgiving. This is technically our Thanksgiving show, though, right?
This would be, because, you know, I don't think we have anyone lined up for next week, do we?
I don't know. I doubt anybody to come on. It's the weekend.
It's tough on a holiday weekend like that, folks, because people are away. We don't want to ruin anyone's holiday. We want to spend time with our families. But if something comes up, we'll do a show, I'm sure. Yeah, but
if we get bored.
But technically, this is the week before Thanksgiving, so this would be our Thanksgiving show.
Okay, well, here's our first news story, unless you want to lead us off.
No, go ahead.
All right, first news story, guys, comes out of our friends at Associated Press. And this is our first story for Thanksgiving. Rage-filled groundhog executed for charging at homeowner.
Yum. He's gonna taste good with some gravy.
This is at your way. Hampton, New Hampshire. A New Hampshire man. New Hampshire man. I like the way it sounds. Says he was working in his garage, Demon Hunter, when a groundhog he had seen in the backyard charged at him. Gary McGrath of Hampton tells WMUR-TV the groundhog got close, so he pushed him back with his foot Tuesday, but the animal returned. McGrath said he gave him a harder kick and closed the garage door, but the groundhog sneaked through another opening, Demon Hunter. Yeah, and McGrath ended up running to the front door. You sure this wasn't you? His wife called an animal control officer who got back into his truck for a short time when confronted by this groundhog. This is one heck of a groundhog.
Have they checked this groundhog for rabies?
I don't know. Bath salts. The animal was later put down in the yard. It will be tested for rabies. McGrath said he didn't know what the groundhog was thinking, but it was not nice. That was his... Was it
Did
nice?
You know what the groundhog was thinking? Yes, yes. He told me just before we had to shoot him.
He said, "Don't, please." I don't know.
Hey, Sean, from the ABC News and the Associated Press, mm-hmm. Town opposes Winnie the Pooh for unclear gender.
Really?
Oh, hey, Sean, I forgot to make the announcement.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, folks, this is the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show in the news section. That's weird news that Sean and I pick right out of the papers. We don't read the news beforehand. We just pick it because we like the titles. So because we don't read them beforehand, we tend to make a lot of mistakes. Every time we make a mistake, you take a drink. That's why we call it the G&D drinking game. And because we make a lot of mistakes and you're going to take a lot of drinks, we ask that if you're listening to this live in your car or on your iPod while driving, don't play the G&D drinking game. You're going to get in trouble.
Right.
And if you're planning to do anything important tonight, like, say, pick out a Christmas tree or cook a Christmas turkey, please, or Thanksgiving turkey, please listen responsibly.
I'm here for the gangbang.
Oh, you're so tongue-tied.
Oh, I try, Sean. What did you say just before that?
Tongue-tied. Are you getting ready to do this thing?
I'm getting ready to do this thing right here, right now.
Do it.
Town opposes Winnie the Pooh for unclear gender.
Oh!
Officials in a have a drink, folks. Officials in a Polish town have opposed a proposition to name a playground after Winnie the Pooh. Due to the bear's unclear gender and immodest clothing.
What?
Because Winnie only has a shirt. And the original Winnie the Pooh didn't even have that, did he?
He's a bear!
The matter was debated in a closed-door meeting. They had to close doors for this, Sean. The matter was debated in a closed-door meeting weeks ago in a central Polish town of, have a drink, Tuzan.
I'm ready for six.
Tuzan. Yeah. But didn't get much media attention in Poland until recent days.
Yeah.
Voice recordings of the meeting were leaked to the media, in which officials complained that the Pooh Bear was immodestly dressed
yeah.
and also lacks a clear gender.
Oh.
Impure.
One called the bear a hermaphrodite.
Oh!
Oh my. Some said the fully clothed Polish cartoon bear named Have a Drink Juzak
the bear.
Impure.
Juzak the bear would be a better choice.
Yeah.
One of Pooh's opponent, one of the Pooh Bear's opponents.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Drink.
Rezard Sinicki told a newspaper that he had been joking at the end of the discussion on the playground and had and it had gone a bit too long.
Oh no. Was that the one with the picture though? And I thought Winnie the Pooh had his costume on backwards and the tail was in the front. Was that it?
That no, that was just somebody who supposedly put the costume on backwards and the tail was sticking out the front. I don't think that had anything to do with it.
Oh, it's great. Winnie the Pooh! How could that be gender? There could never be any question it was a man's voice.
Well, he did have a very close relationship with a little boy, so...
Robbins.
There could be arguments either way.
He was Christopher Robin's buddy.
Don't be a moron.
Yeah.
It's Tigger that worried me with all the bouncy.
Don't be a moron.
Anyway, is that it?
Think about Tiggers.
Much you love. Did Disney weigh in on this yet?
I don't think Disney has weighed in on it yet because I suppose because they own the rights to the Winnie the Pooh stories, they might have some say on it. But I don't know. They haven't said anything yet.
All you Disney people are strange. Okay, you ready?
Strange. I'm going to Disney in the middle of January this year just to escape the New England winter. But I'm taking my vacation and going to Disney in January, and that's not strange. It's fun to be a kid for a week.
Are you going to apologize to Pooh Bear? Just walk up and ask him, are you a man or a woman? Or are you a Pat? Da-da-da, it's Pat. Remember that? Saturday Night Live.
Oh. Pat. Androgynous Pat.
Yeah, androgynous Pat. Yeah, whatever. New signs in Indiana, Demon Hunter, warn of turtle crossing.
Really?
I haven't seen this. Apparently it comes out of Terre Haute, Indiana, from our friends at Associated Press. We haven't, I haven't been to Terre Haute for a while, but that's where one of the big ghost stories, the story of Stiffy Green, comes out of. A little dog running around. Anyway, state crews in Indiana have put up turtle crossing signs along a busy road running beside the wildlife area in Terre Haute.
Okay.
The signs mark an area where turtles of various species are killed by vehicles as they try to cross National Avenue. You know, that's a story as old as time. The turtle and hare, remember?
Oh yeah, do they try and hit the turtles when they go through?
I don't know. On the northern edge of the Wabashiki Fish and Wildlife Area, just west of the Wabash River, said Amber Slaughterbeck, natural resource programmer for the Vigo County Parks Department. Slaughterbeck, it's a great name for killing turtles, said she hoped the signs will raise awareness among drivers about the danger facing the turtles that she first noticed in 2009.
Do a lot of turtles get killed there?
Yeah, I think there is. They're probably like speed bumps now. There's so many of them piled up. Turtle carcasses. Isn't the shell supposed to help them from getting killed?
I think that protects them from predators, not semis.
Semis, fox. Same thing. Anyway, when she was a student at the nearby St. Mary...
Bring out your dick!
Turtle soup! Anyway, she was a student, I guess, at the St. Mary of the Woods College. She told the Tribune Star she found dead turtles all over the road.
Aww.
Oh, I love girls like that.
Bring out your dick!
Bring them out. Bring him out. Bring out the dead. It was like a massacre, Demon Hunter, as she shed a tear. I'm just adding that. Aww. As she protested in the nude. I added that, too. It was a massacre of these turtles. She's in the nude, wearing a turtle shell on her back. Huh? Wouldn't that be cool, though? Imagine if that was like that, though.
I don't think that actually happened, Sean. I think you're manipulating the news story.
But can you imagine? A green lady with the... Anyway, it was like a massacre of these turtles, so I pulled my car over and started walking along the guardrail, she said. At that point, I thought I would save just a few turtles and see where it goes. I came back the next day and realized that there were a lot of turtles to be saved. Slaughterback! back and the volunteers have moved more than 2,000 turtles from the roadside to a nearby lake in recent years. There's a huge lake over there in the cemetery. That'd be a safe place. Anyway, volunteer Deborah Elliott Kessler said she's seen drivers try to intentionally hit the animals, Demon Hunter. You believe that? I don't. I don't believe it. Indiana Department of Transportation spokeswoman Debbie Calder said the signs are temporary while the agency considers ways to protect the reptiles. She said the ultimate plan is to raise money for fencing and tunnels.
Okay.
Yeah. It is not just the turtles. We have pulled river otters out of the road, she said.
Aww.
Yeah, we ideally would like a tunnel big enough to allow the river otters and the beavers and all the other animals to cross underneath. It also adds that Slaughterbeck is a activist for beavers. Get it? She showed up with hers.
He's a beaver.
She was on the state house steps with her beaver. Anyway, that's it. New signs in Indiana warn of turtle crossing. So if you're going through the Hoosier State, guys, watch out.
Yeah, but when they put up deer crossing signs, basically those signs are there so you don't hit a deer so you don't go in your car.
Right.
When they put up turtle signs, people drive through and, like she said, intentionally aim for the turtles. It's
You're basically
giving people a target.
Why would you try to kill a turtle?
Not her, but there are people who just get a kick out of killing things, Sean.
You said Slaughterbeck was a beaver activist.
Well.
Say.
Hey, Sean, ex-state worker charged with stealing 610 helmets.
Helmets?
Helmets.
Like Nazi helmets, or?
This comes from ABC News and the Associated Press.
Yeah.
A former Pennsylvania state worker has been accused, have a drink, of stealing 610 combat helmets and faces federal charges.
Oh, no.
The Philadelphia Inquirer, and you know you can always trust any paper called the Inquirer.
Well, yeah.
Says that 43-year-old... Oh, great.
Do it.
Maritia...
Drink, Bill.
40-year-old... I don't know.
She's 40. Got a weird name.
Resident of... Oh, I guess that's the name of the town. Maritia resident. Michelle.
You messed up Michelle. How are you going to mess up Michelle?
Oh, I'm sorry. Michael. Sorry. Michael Gents worked as an acquirer at the acquisitions office at the Department of General Services Supplies, Property, and Warehouse.
Right.
Criminal charges filed on Friday by the U.S. District Court in Harrisburg alleged that between July 2009 and January 2010, another drink, folks.
Yeah.
He stole. So I guess it was Michael.
Okay.
He stole combat helmets the federal government was provided to for distribution to state and local law enforcement officers.
Yeah.
The investigation estimates that the value of the helmets was more than $5,000.
Okay.
Gents apparently doesn't have a listed telephone number and can't be reached for comment. He likes his helmet. He sat up all day polishing all his helmets, Sean.
Ah! So we talk about helmet polishing and the beaver activist from Terre Haute, Indiana.
Between the two of them.
Anyway, Demon Hunter, if your story's done,
call me the Space Cowboy.
Your Space Cowboy. Guys, that was G&D Show in the news.
Hope you're drunk.
Yeah, they're good and drunk right before Thanksgiving. We're here with you guys.
Hey, you get the whole family together for Thanksgiving, we all need to drink.
Say we need to drink. Guys, it's that time of the show. We're at 7:50 for a Nathan Schoonover, the Demon Hunter original series. Here we go.
Da-da-da. Is it playing?
Yeah, it's playing.
Hi, this is Matt Milk from the Zombie Research Society. And here's your weekly update from the G&D Zombie Alert System. Now back to you, Sean and Nate.
Thanks, Matt.
Hey, Sean. As you know, folks, Sean and I travel the world via the internet and look up everything we can find that could lead to a zombie outbreak.
Yeah.
This week I have been looking into salmonella outbreaks.
Oh.
That have been linked to salami.
Okay.
Okay. In current other current outbreaks have included sprouts. Sprouts always. Everybody talks about how they love sprouts. Oh, they're so healthy for you, sprouts, folks. There's been a outbreak of different kinds of bacteria in sprouts. Always wash sprouts very thoroughly. There's also been some other fungal outbreaks involving soy, but nothing, Sean, at this particular time, going into the winter, has shown that in the U.S. we have any diseases that we really need to worry about. Of course, there is the old Ebola outbreak in West Africa, and there's avian flu virus, avian flu A, which is an H7N7 virus out there. Oh. But besides these external illnesses, there has been nothing rising lately that would lead us to believe that there could be a possible zombie outbreak. So, Sean, for the first time in months, the zombie alert system is at low.
Thank God.
We, you know, except for the fact that The Walking Dead is out there, and though art imitates life, life has a tendency to imitate art, we have had no signs of a zombie apocalypse upon us this week.
Right.
So, folks, go do your Christmas shopping. The worst you have to worry about is the flu, and if you got your flu shot, you're all set.
I didn't get mine.
Well, then stay home.
Stay!
You're going to get sick.
That's it. That's it, Shadow Nation. Nathan Schoonover, the Demon Hunter, told you we are at low. You can relax for the holidays. You know what time it is, little brother Shadow Nation. It's that time each week to talk about the show we love.
The show we love almost as much as we as our own.
That's it. Guys, you hear the music each week. Nathan and myself, Nathan and I, be proper tonight, talk about the show we love, you love, The Walking Dead. Each week, we talk about this new series. Not new series, but the new episodes to the series. Yeah, new season. Hunt or Be Hunted, The Walking Dead. We are two shows. Tonight will be the second from the last, from the end of the mid-season finale. And where we are right now, it looks like Rick... It's going to come full circle. The group is going back to Rick to save...
Sean, we should remind people here that this is a spoiler section of the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We will be mentioning things that have already happened and predictions that to what will happen, including stuff we have seen in the trailers for the upcoming episodes. So if you don't, if you haven't seen last week or the week before, or you don't want to know anything about the upcoming week, this is when you stick your fingers in your ears and go la 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 the next 7 minutes, because we're going to be talking about all that stuff.
La 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 la, shada. Anyway, guys, this is Rot Talk with the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. And like I said before, we are coming full circle to wrap up what appears to be two episodes from the mid-season finale, where everybody's going back to Rick. Crazy Rick. To pull the
crazy
group.
Crazy Rick.
Crazy Rick. I like Crazy Rick. He just ripped the guy's throat out. He's never been the same.
He's never been the same since he actually, like, became a zombie.
Right.
Yeah, he might be able to think for himself now, but he's a flesh eater. Is he really any better than the hunters?
I don't think so. You're no better than him. See, he needs to talk to you, because you openly admit it. You're a cannibal on tonight's show.
No, I openly admit that I don't know what I would do if faced with that decision.
If you don't know what you're going to do, then that means you're sicko. You're going to eat people. Cannibal. I'm just saying. I'm going to send you, we're going to use the G&D show savings to take you
so
to see somebody.
So let's look at it at a level of, like, you brought it up to $20 million for me, and at that, or $20
billion. $20
billion. At that point, I wasn't sure what I would do. Let's say a man breaks into your home and has your family at gunpoint and says, you have to eat this piece of human flesh or I take out your family. What do you do?
You have to eat this flesh or... Well, of course, what I do is say yes, I take the flesh, then I do an excellent Chuck Norris-type karate move, a 360 spin-around back kick.
And you and your entire family dies, and he uses your meat to feed the next victim.
No, and then he drops his, weapon, and I take over for him.
Dude, I've seen you throw out your back trying to pick up a piece of wood.
No, he'll drop his weapon, I'll take over for him, I'll save my entire family, and I will be a hero as usual.
And then you will fight his throat out like Rick.
That's it. Anyway,
and
back
you
to...
You will still be in human flesh.
Anyway, guys, back to Rot Talk before we run out of time. Hunt or be hunted, The Walking Dead this season coming full circle. The team's looking to get back to Rick. They're going to find him and hopefully try to get Carol and Beth away from the crazy police, the crazy popo, at the hospital, now, Demon Hunter.
Now, we've already seen that I was wrong, Sean, because I thought that Carol was faking it.
Yeah.
And they brought her in. And she got hit by a car.
They smashed her with the car, dude.
And now they're taking her off of life support, and they say that she'll only survive if she can survive on her own.
Yeah. Well, I think she'll be able to survive. Don't you? They can't lose Carol.
I don't think they're going to kill Carol off that way, like in a coma.
Yeah. Carol's the new...
That would be a lame way for Carol to die.
Carol's the new Bodars. Everybody loves Carol. Anyway, Demon Hunter, what do you think is going to happen tonight?
Well, I think Carol is going to come out of it. I think it's going to be towards the end of the episode. I think we're going to get to see Daryl now back with the group. And as I said, we did figure out that it was the young man. His name wasn't Ben. That Ben was the other gentleman.
I don't know. The black guy?
Yeah, I can't remember his name now off the top of my head. But he's definitely going to be the one that goes back with Daryl to meet the others. And we're going to hear them setting up plans to go back. And, of course, now Daryl doesn't know that half the group is gone.
Okay.
He's planning to come back and have the whole group there fully armed.
Right.
With the vehicle that they were working on to get back and try and save them. And what he doesn't realize, half the group's gone. Half the weapons are gone.
Right.
What do we have? We've got Rick, his son, Carl. We've got... Now a brain freeze.
Michonne.
Is that Michonne. All? And we have the preacher. Is that all we have back at the church right now?
I think that's all we have.
And so it's a team of six going in. Won't be much better than a team of two went in the first time. So yeah. He's in for a surprise, and they're going to have to come up with some plans. And maybe this episode will be about them going back and trying to find the rest of the group so that they can go in and save. And, of course, we've also discovered, as you said, that... the scientist is not a scientist.
Yeah.
So yeah. The sergeant needs a new mission.
The Abraham.
Needs a new mission. So maybe this will be his mission.
This might be it. Anyway, guys, that's what Nathan thinks. The Demon Hunter's opinion of tonight, I think we get back together. I think tonight's the night we start to lose some of our friends, Demon Hunter. And I have to say it as a tear runs down my face. I think tonight he's been acting very weird. Our friend and the last guest, or the guest before last... Our friend of the show, Mr. Chad Coleman, gets taken out. Tyrese gets taken out tonight or the next episode. Somebody has got to go. You know, Tyrese himself said live on the show, people are going to go that we don't expect to go. And he's been acting freaky deaky, man. But I think he's going to go out and he's going to save most of the group.
And he did have the kiss of death. He did come on our show.
That's true. And every time, guys, for you to don't know, every time somebody from The Walking Dead comes on our show... they die. So, I think The Walking Dead are starting to talk. Hey, if you hear those guys from the G&D show, don't go on their show.
Hey, maybe that's why we haven't heard back this week from the folks regarding Daryl.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know.
Because, folks, we are still lining up Daryl Dixon.
Yeah, we are. He's coming on, guys. You got to stay tuned each week to find out. Be one of the first to find out when he will be on. And that wraps up Rot Talk, guys, where each week we talk about what we think is going to happen tonight on The Walking Dead.
Hey, quick question there for you, though, Sean.
Yeah.
I know you wrapped up already, but quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
With everything that happened, if they don't, like I say, go and find the rest of the group, do you think Rick's going to charge in to save his friends?
Why? If they don't go find what tonight? Who?
They don't find the rest of the group. If they don't go to find the rest of the group first, do you think he's going to charge in with a six-man team to try and save them?
Well, I think Rick will go out there to kind of get an idea of what's going down. And amazingly, he'll run into Abraham and his friends, and they'll have a good old family reunion. And then we're going to lose some people in a gunfight.
Who do you think's going to go besides possibly Tyrese?
Well, I don't think, you know, Rickster's not going, because for me, that would be the show. So, you know, the head leader's not going. Carl's not going. I'm thinking you were right. I think they'll save Glenn. I think Glenn's gone this year, this season. Maybe not the next two episodes, but I think he will be gone when we're introduced late next series to the new bad guy. What was his name? The new bad guy? The survivors leader?
Wait, didn't the survivors leader die? Oh.
No, you're the one that read the books.
No, but that was the people who became the hunters.
I don't know. I think we lose Abraham and Tyrese before they wrap it up.
Oh, I could see. How about the preacher?
The preacher, he's kind of expendable. I mean, you know, they can do without him. You know, he's only been on a couple episodes. Either that, or he's going to do something to be a huge player in the game. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I myself really thought that Glenn was going to get it at Terminus, because the whole thing with them, like, whacking people over the head and things like that was very reminiscent of how Glenn actually catches it in the comic book.
No, I knew he wasn't going to get it. It was, you can't start off with losing a major player the first episode coming back after 6 months. You can't. It won't happen. Anyway, Demon Hunter, the hour is upon us. It's 8:01. Guys, tonight's guest, you don't want to miss this one, author Fritz Zimmerman of the Nephilim Chronicles, Fallen Angels in the Ohio Valley. Also, the Nephilim Chronicles, a traveler's guide. He'll be on tonight, guys. He's going to tell us, are these strange giant skeletons we're finding all over the United States and the world key factors and proof that female humans have made it with angels at some time throughout history, creating the Nephilim? And if so, does these beings, their offspring, still walk among us? We find out tonight.
There were giants in the earth.
Giants in the earth. We find out tonight with our buddy, good friend of the show, author Fritz Zimmerman. Hey guys, tonight's band, tonight's musician, artist, Lloyd Cole, Demon Hunter.
Yes.
Shadow Nation. We'll be right back.
It's late, and I'm so far from home. It's late, and I don't want to be alone. It's late, and your eyes are black. Your eyes are black as coal. I want to take you back to my hotel. And I could be true tonight to someone like you tonight. Someone like. It's late in this lonely hotel room. It's late, but there's nobody but you on my mind. With your lips so red, your lips as red as hellfire, stop me dead, bring me down to my knees. And I could be blue tonight for someone like you tonight. Someone like. I went looking for the devil's daughter. I found you sitting in this old saloon, just exactly where the hotel porter told me. If you're looking for trouble tonight, I know where the trouble's gonna be tonight. Cross my palm with silver, and I could be true tonight to someone like you tonight. I could be blue tonight for someone like you. La 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 la.
Come back here. This is Scott Wilson from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Tonight's guest, author Fritz Zimmerman, good friend of the show, and he's the author of the Nephilim Files, Nephilim Chronicles, I'm sorry, and he's going to come on tonight to tell us what's going on with these giants. What's going on, Fritz?
John, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming back on the show, man.
Yeah, good to be back. It's been a while. It's been about a year.
Yeah, about a year. Last time we had you on, people went nuts. They can't believe it. We've got so many downloads over it. What a great story. I know you got some new stuff to talk about. You've been doing a lot of things here, a lot of stuff going on for you. Let's get back to, a lot of our listeners don't know about you, they don't know about your books, and they don't know what a Nephilim is. Can we break into it?
Yeah, sure. Nephilim, of course, we're talking about the giants. Specifically, we're talking about those giants that they talked about in the Bible. That is kind of the root of the book, and I trace the biblical giants who were metal traders, and buried their dead in mounds, and how they made their way to England and then eventually made their way into the Ohio Valley, where we have sacred geometry. We know they were using pi. They know they were using square root to construct these mounds. They were using a numerical system where the hinges are 666 feet and 1080 is being used for the Earth Mother. So we have all sorts of ties, skeletal types, skull types that all match that stuff that we would find in the biblical lands and match perfectly with what's found in England around Stonehenge. So in a very short nutshell, that's the Nephilim Chronicles. And we also have the Nephilim Chronicles, a travel guide to the ancient ruins in the Ohio Valley, which is a travel guide to 222 sites.
Yes. And most of those, well, most of them all are Ohio Valley, right, around the U.S.?
Yeah, the 222 is in Ohio, West Virginia, Kentucky, Indiana, and Michigan. So all within about a 200-mile radius. Yeah. Of course, most of them are in Ohio and Indiana. That has the lion's share in those two states.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, this is an amazing story. I was raised a Baptist. I went to Christian school for a while, and I never heard, of course, everybody heard the story of David and Goliath. But other than that, they never talk about these beings, or I never got it. You don't see them on the Sunday school board where, you know, remember the cloth they used to hang the,
You remember, Sean, the line I said just as we started, and there were giants in the earth. That is a Bible verse. Why are the sons of God lying with this, the daughters of man?
Right.
You know, it is brought up. Yeah, it's just like you said, you know, they don't teach it in Sunday school.
What? Right in Genesis, right in the front.
Right in the front. I guess I need to brushing up, huh? Anyway,
you know, giants are mentioned in the Bible probably 50 times.
Wow.
Yeah. So, it's a big part of the story, but, yeah, they leave that out.
Yeah, you don't hear much of it in the teachings. Why do you think that is? I mean, why do you think they don't get on this? They'll get on everything else, the man, Jonah in the well, stuff like that. Why do they think it's so taboo to talk about giants?
It opens up a lot of questions because, you know, some are saying like 666 is the devil, and it really isn't. 666 is used in the Bible three times. Two times it means sun, and the third time in Revelations it's in reference to Rome. But there was a covenant with God had with these giants, and even in the Bible it says of the Jews, thy father was an Amorite, thy mother was a Hittite. The Amorites were the most accounted tribes of giants in the Bible. So it opens up a lot of gray area. But churches don't like to go into those gray areas.
Oh, wow. And now the Hittites, I've heard about that. Of course, they like I said, getting back to David and Goliath, Goliath was a Palestine? Or what was Goliath?
Yeah, it was, but it was so much later. I mean, the giants were long gone by then, and if you read that, it says he was a remnant of the Rephaim, so his bloodline had maybe extended, and that's where he got that height. But the Nephilim or the Amorites or the Zanzum and those tribes had been gone for a long time.
Now, I know growing up, what'd you say, Fritz? I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I know. You brought up the 666, and last time I was on here, you exploded my mind. So I'm going to try to keep with you tonight, guys. If you don't know Fritz Zimmerman, hold on to your hats because he's going to blow you away with some information on these things. But 666, number of the beast. They used to put us down in the classroom and show us these videos the day after the world's on fire, all God's people have been raptured up. And I remember them telling a guy, you go to the end of the street and your family's going to die if you don't take the mark of the beast, which, of course, they said is 666. But you say it's not. You say 666 referred to twice as son and 666, one meaning Rome. Can you break that down? Explain that to me.
Sure. Okay, we're all familiar with Revelations and the 666, but if you read that quote carefully, it says, let he who hath understanding, keyword, understanding, count the number. So understand that you have to count the number. Now, if we look at the Roman numerical system, who was persecuting the Christians? The Romans.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the Roman numerical system of 500, 100, 50, 10, 5, 1, and count that, you get 666. It's in reference to that. And we know that because of the other two times it's mentioned in the Bible. Once in Chronicles, where they bring Solomon 600 3 score and 6 talents of gold, or 666. You know from the name Solomon,
yeah.
Sol, which is Latin for son, An is Hindi for son, An is the Egyptian word for son, and Solomon means son, son, son. And then in another quote of Adonakim, who is escaping Babylon, and with him is 666 people. Adonakim is probably in reference to Adonis, which was a Phoenician sun god. So in two times we have it son, third time we have it for reference to Rome. Let you have understanding count.
I also find it interesting in that verse as it says, you know, let any man who has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number, and his number is 666. It never says it's the beast number, it's man's number. And having been a Bible student doing some biblical numerology as well, the one of the easiest points I gave to people was, if you actually look at the number and look at the way numbers are used in the Bible, 6 is the number of man. It's the incomplete number. And 3 is the number of God, which is the Trinity. So 666 would be man trying to become God. And it's more of a warning than it is a threat.
Or an actual tangible number that has a personality or a curse on it.
Right.
So, you know, if you got change for $6.66, it doesn't mean you're going to be in a head-on collision on the way home.
Right.
And then burn in hell.
My ex-wife refused to stop the car if the digits on the car were at 666, which was fine when it was 666 miles the first time it happened. But when it turned into 6,660 miles, I really got pissed having to drive that car an extra 10 miles to get rid of it.
And Fritz, I got to tell you, I disagree with you there, because my ex-wife had that number on the back of her neck. And let me tell you something, brother. No, I'm kidding.
Well, she only had it tattooed there because it's on your forehead.
Damien. Anyway, Fritz, why do you think that number, 666, why do you think the modern-day religious belief structure is based around that being the mark of the beast? What are they trying to hide? Definitely, because if it's not the mark of the beast, they're trying to tell everybody that is evil, don't say it, don't look at it. I mean, what are they trying to hide?
I don't know if they're trying to hide it. It's just so easy. You know, it's such an easy way to scare people. You know, we've had all the demon movies starting with the 70s. I'm trying to think of what that was. A little kid that was the devil. But
Damien.
It's just
Omen.
What was it?
Omen.
Yeah, the Omen. Well, 666, well, there he had it right there on his head, you know?
You're right.
So it's just easy. It sells well. It's very marketable. It looks kind of demonic when you just put the 666 together. So, you know, Hollywood's had a big part of it. And, you know, it's an easy thing to, you know, move across to scare people.
Now, one thing, Fritz, and I want to talk about this a little bit. I was doing my research for tonight's show. We didn't get into it last time, but in Pennsylvania, in Bradford County, Pennsylvania. Very special place known as Valley of the Giants. Can you break that down for us? Tell us why it's so special and why do they call it that?
Sure. I think that's the place where they had giant skeletons with horns coming out of their head.
Yes, that's what I was...
About that?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about. What's going on here? If Nephilim didn't blow your mind, now all of a sudden we have Nephilim-type, devil-type things. What's going on here?
You know, that trait turns up now about 10 times. I think I have it about 5 times in Fallen Angels, and then I'm going to be coming out with the Encyclopedia of Giants.
Oh.
And I think I have about 15 of those right now. And, you know, when we talk about the Bible and it talks about, you know, the sons of God and they bred with these women to create this abomination. And it's that genetic mixing that just creates some really weird things in these skulls and skeletons of these giants. Double rows of teeth, horns protruding out of their forehead. So a lot of strange things. And I just think it's that genetic mess that was created. So certainly get into that in Fallen Angels and point out, you know, some of these really weird abominations and big brow ridges and sloped skulls and massive jaws and just how strange some of these people must have looked back in the day. And we know that because we have the actual skulls and can look at them and go, man, what was this? This guy was just crazy looking. But, especially with horns coming out of your head.
Yeah. Where are these skulls? I mean, is it like the beginning of Indiana Jones? They have them buried in a bunker somewhere? Because you just don't see them. You see these, well, you don't know if you see them or not. People make them into hoaxes. You see pictures all over the internet. But people just say, well, Photoshop's real handy to have. So, I mean, if I remember right, you found some of these things or got an eyewitness account of them. Where are they hiding this proof?
You know, the Smithsonian grabbed a lot of them. And this next book, I am going to have about 100 accounts of just the Smithsonian coming in and grabbing these skeletons. And they would go, I mean, it's the late 1800s, so to go from Washington to BFE, Indiana, to go pick up in Brewersville, Indiana, go get this skeleton that was big. They went to a lot of effort and spent a lot of money. But when that would hit a newspaper article and they would catch wind of it, they came and they got them. And there's some interesting things. I mean, even the Smithsonian was measuring some of these skeletons at 8 foot, and a lot of that was censored. But there are a few publications that they did where they admitted how large these skeletons were. And that's where the cover-up starts, so we do have a lot of that. You know, and a lot of skeletons ended up in, like, the county surveyor's office, and then we just lost track of them from there. They became these weird oddities in these small towns and were exhibited, and we just kind of lose them. So it's always been my hope that, you know, one of them will surface. But, you know, now we have the NAGPRA, Native American Graves Protection Act, so, you know, putting a skull in your window could be big trouble, or even saying you have a skeleton could be some really bad things with the FBI and whoever else is going to show up at your door. So we're not really in a climate right now politically that anyone's going to come forward and say, yeah, I got this skeleton, because NAGPRA will grab it immediately. We saw that happen with Kennewick Man. We're seeing that in the giant skulls in Nevada, where the Paiutes want to bury that one. So politically, it's a tough thing that we're kind of up against right now. But I think we'll find one. We have some leads on a couple of places that might have a large skeleton. So we'll see what happens with that.
Now, Fritz, these skeletons have been found in Ohio, Pennsylvania, out in Indiana. But, you know, why don't we hear about them being found overseas? As you said, they made their way overseas. Why don't we hear about the remnants of these being found over there?
Well, we do, and I think I have about 25 accounts of giant skeletons being found in England and Scotland. And that just backs up my theory that who they call the Beaker people are the people that eventually would be known as the Edina in the Ohio Valley. So we had conical mounds with circles around them. We have hinges over there. We have Stonehenge, but the hinge part is the earthwork, which is an earthwork with an interior ditch and a gateway aligned to a solar event. So we have hinges all over the Ohio Valley. We have conical mounds in the Ohio Valley with circles going around them. We have the same skull types of three separate generic, what's called the corded people and borovies. All three of those skull types show up in England and in the Ohio Valley. So there's a lot of evidence out there that those people over there ended up over here. So it's hard to believe that a giant race separated would build the identical kind of mounds and the identical type of sun temples.
Okay. Well, let's say that... what about some of these homes here in the Midwest that we see pictures of with these burial mounds on their property? What are, I know we can't say all these mounds are the giants that just died and were buried, or that's another question, you know, were the giants buried or did somehow the earth just grow around them, or, you know, that's a good question. But what happens to these private homes that have these mounds? Do the government just come in and say, hey, we're digging this up, this is the way it is?
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, the Ohio Historical Society would just come and, you know, dig up a guy's mound, or they would sometimes after a church service, they would go in a Sunday afternoon and dig one up. But what's interesting, and it's going about, you know, things that are the same, and it's something I'm working on in my next book, and I touch a little bit about it on The Fallen, is the mound builders were into what's called ancestral worship. So they would place people in these mounds, and at that point, they really cease to be an individual, but they become a collective of the dead that would be worshipped. So they would worship their ancestors for prosperity and other things, you know, in their lives. And, you know, we have that certainly over in England, and that's why they were, you know, why the burial mounds were built there. We also have that in the Ohio Valley. But what's an interesting tie right now that I'm finding, because I'm studying a lot about the Druid religion, is the spiritual manifestations that occur around these burial mounds. Mm-hmm. And over in England and Ireland, they say that what appear to be fairies and some other entities that they see around there are spiritual manifestations of the people buried in the mounds. And we have several instances, one here in Indiana at Mound State Park, and I have another one over in Wabash County here, close to me, where they're sighting these little fairy people. But they're not fairy people. It's not like you've stumbled on Hobbit land. These are spirits. They're ghosts, basically. But these ancients worship ghosts. And so, unlike us, where we think your soul ascends to heaven, to the mound builders, your soul stayed right here, right next to the village. It didn't go anywhere.
Right.
Which is interesting, because in the book of Enoch, God said that the giants would always be earthbound.
Right.
That they wouldn't go anywhere.
Right. And that's one of the things I was going to say. Let's say that we're all believing that, you know, devil's real, God's real, 100%. This happened. Angels made it with the females, offspring, the giants, the Nephilim. Where are they now?
The spirits of the giants?
The giants themselves. Where would they have went? Wouldn't there have to be still some trace of those amongst us?
If they don't ascend, then where do they go?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they're right here. Those spirits are all there in Ohio. I mean, if you watch all the paranormal shows where I do, isn't it odd that where most of the giants are found is where most of the paranormal activity is going on, in Ohio and Pennsylvania and New York and Indiana? That those are the hot spots.
Yeah.
Of where most is going. What is the most haunted place one of the most haunted places in America, Moundsville Prison. Well, what's in front of Moundsville Prison? The largest burial mound in the country. It's 70 foot tall. There was an 8 foot man and a 7.5 foot woman in that mound. So the most haunted place is like in the biggest conduit or portal into the underworld or the other world is right in front of that prison. So they think there's a direct link between these doors, which is what a burial mound is, and even paranormal activity that we experience today.
Okay. All right.
Now,
well,
now Sean, I just got to ask a quick question because we keep referring to them as giants or the Nephilim, but how big were they?
I kind of make the cutoff around 7 foot, but the largest is about 9'6". And if you see one, it's around, PNO reports around 12, 13 foot. And I usually don't buy that. There's been a couple cases where 9'6", and it was really well documented, too. And there was more that were in one. There was like three that were over 9 foot and a couple that were 8 foot. But I would say 9'6", which is just monstrous, would be the largest that I have documented.
Oh, wow. You know, I think when these giants were here on the Earth, they would have dominated everything, right?
And, yeah, they did.
Now, you've got to think, too, though, if these people were being born, especially these people with horns, somebody had to care for them in their youth. So, I mean, because the human animal is not capable of taking care of itself for several years. So, at no point were these people shunned. They were always looked upon as like
gods,
or what was going on there?
Well, you know, the fact that the tale that Native Americans talk about this ancient race of giants, that they certainly made an impression, just be like in the Bible, they made a big impression. And even though it was, you know, years, you know, after a lot of those books were written, they were still talking about them. But I think they, you know, live like a kind of an advanced civilization for their time. You know, it was the Amorites that developed advanced mathematics of pi and square root was developed around 1650 BC when the Amorites controlled Babylon, which goes back to the Book of Enoch that says that these angels gave them the secrets, and that was following the sun and the course of the moon and the course of the stars and mathematics and geometry and the working of metals. And we can take all of those aspects, even in the Ohio Valley, and say, well, yeah, they have all of that. They did all of those things. Right. Well, where did they get that? You know, and that's why it's hard for me to believe that those were just strictly indigenous people, that somebody came over here and brought that information and technology.
Now, aliens, UFOs, things of that nature that we experience still today, some of us do they have any connections whatsoever with the Nephilim, do you believe?
Possibly. You know, I kind of let people interpret that, you know, through the Book of Knowledge or through the Book of Enoch to say, all right, well, here we have a tall people, and then out of the blue, they are just bestowed all of this information that we can kind of attribute to, you know, the cradle of civilization and some of these other aspects of history. But it's like one people who were very large in size all of a sudden know all of this stuff. Now, the biblical interpretation would say angels, but you could interpret that another way and say, well, somebody brought that.
Right.
Somebody came and just delivered that. So kind of leave that up to the reader to believe, you know, the actual origin of this knowledge. But, you know, some people are saying now that these little or demons or not demons, but aliens,
right.
Like the Greys, are actually like demonic entities.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. I just started kind of reading a few people talking about that.
Heard like, about that.
All right, well, that's an interesting take on it.
Yeah.
Viable, but...
Yeah, and, you know, I think with everything, you always have the people, you know, the ghost or, you know, it's either a demon, an angel, or just a regular person, you know, just a ghost of a person. You have different opinions. I think that's what Nathan meant, where he was talking about, you know, these beings being here on Earth, did people shun them or put them out? And I was wondering, when they were here, is there any evidence anywhere that they did battles with these different clans of these giants? One clan has horns. The other clan might have golden hair or whatever. Sooner or later, just like here on planet Earth amongst ourselves, we fight each other for whatever reason. Was there any evidence of epic battles or anything like that in the Bible between these beings?
Not between the giants themselves, but of course, Joshua, when he moves in to take the promised land, just murders all of them. I mean, what was left of the giants? I mean, they killed a man, woman, and child. They wanted to stamp out that genetic threat. That was important to them, so they slaughtered them. That's the biblical account of Joshua when he went in, and the last of these people, he just took them out. I think historically they had already left. Most of them had already left. They knew they had places in England that was safe, and they knew there were places in North America that was safe. I think a lot of them just left, but whatever was left, yeah, they wiped them out.
Oh, wow. Why do you think that was so important to Joshua? For he could rule, or what?
It was that, and I just think they just thought that that was such a bad seed.
Yeah.
That these people were engaged in a lot of things that the church would frown upon.
Right.
You know, the whore of Babylon and all of that. And so it was just a genetic seed that they just wanted to eliminate. And so, yeah, they killed everybody, man, woman, and child.
That's in Numbers, correct? That's when the, in the book of Numbers.
Believe so.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, Fritz, I know we're running out of time and we got to close up the show. This is always amazing. We could have you on 50 billion times, which we fully intend to, because there's so much to cover on this. Starting with square one, the Bible mentions these beings, you know, to the bones that we're still uncovering to this day. The government hiding, like I feel they do a lot of things from us. Where do you think we're going with this? What do you think? I know you're not a psychic, but what do you think is going to happen, if anything, in recent day, or not recent days, but in the future here, to that uncovers these things and says, yes, they exist, or are we still going to live in confusion for all eternity?
I think we are going to come up with an intact 8-foot skeleton, and then we're going to do genetic testing on it, and we're going to find out exactly where it came from. Now, we have a little hint of that because we have this Haplo X, which is showing up in Native American populations, and Haplo X has its origin from the area of the Jordan River and the Sea of Galilee, and that's exactly where these Nephilim lived. So we already have a little bit of genetic proof, and I think so we've just kind of opened it up a little bit, but I think the truth is going to come out about this, and it is politically insensitive because saying that other people than just the Native Americans were here has been deemed politically incorrect, and since history is based on whether it's politically correct or not, whether it's not if it's true or not, but if it's politically correct, I think we're going to get over that hump. So I think this is going to be, in 20 years, part of American history.
You know what's scary about
it? It will validate the Bible, which they certainly don't want that to happen.
Right. And what's scary about something you said, Fritz, is in modern day science, technology, we have the capability of getting these genetics, but, you know, cloning certain aspects of things. Throughout history, whenever a person or a group of people have been more powerful, larger, better equipped, they tend to not be so friendly to the others. And, you know, I'm thinking with cloning, genetics, and things like that, if we can do that, or if we've already done that, couldn't science
are you,
harness this?
It did pop up a few years ago. If anyone's familiar with Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Now, you look at him, he has a protruding brow ridge, a sloped skull, a massive skull. Most of their skulls were more of an upper Paleolithic type.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't modern man. They were older than that. They just were more upper Paleolithically. But did you know that Andre the Giant also had a double row of teeth? So if you kind of want to get an idea of what it was like 3,000 years ago to stumble upon one of these guys, just kind of put that picture in your head.
Jeez.
Coming across that guy.
Yeah.
I'll call the Brute Squad. You are the Brute Squad.
Yeah. Well, I'd hate to see an army of those guys. But, Fritz, we are out of time. Where can people find out more information about you, my friend, and about the Nephilim?
Okay. Yeah. Want to know more of Nephilim Chronicles? Just go to Amazon.
And get your book. What's the name of the new book? Encyclopedia of Giants?
That and then Mysteries of Ancient America, and that's where we're going to get a lot more in-depth. It's basically going to be Nephilim Chronicles Volume 3, but just a lot of new information on these people and some new stuff that I found and a little more insight. And I know you got a lot of paranormal people out there. Burial mounds is the next thing to go investigate. These things are hot. So I'm looking forward to somebody going out there with their equipment and see what they can find.
Well, if you are a ghost hunter out there with a biblical background, and if these are Nephilim, and the Bible does say that the Nephilim could not ascend into heaven, and it didn't threaten to send them to hell, then you're right. The spirits would be there. This is a place to check out people. Of course, you might not understand the EVPs.
That's true.
Yeah, so you might want to know, take somebody in a little Hebrew to decipher your EVPs. But I think it's out there. And just some things that I've seen, shadow people, voices, entities, you know, visiting 700 mound sites.
Do you think the phenomenon, I'm sorry, Fritz, before we go, do you think that the phenomenon of shadow people, since they are often referred to as the tall man, do you think that these could be the entities of the spirits of the Nephilim left behind?
Yes. Yes, and it's really scary. And I have been to a site when they were peeking around trees at me, and it was horrifying. And I was way in the boonies, and I was a long way from anyone, and I'm seeing these things, but I had to get my pictures. But, yeah, pretty scary. I've seen some scary things out there. And, you know, voices, and in that case, I mean, they spoke English, but it's out there. It's out there. I mean, I've witnessed it. There is an energy field around all of these burial mounds, and I saw that witness because I was with somebody with some divining rods, and that was really something to witness. And they pointed onto that thing like a magnet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the energy fields. Even if you're kind of a sensitive and you go around the burial mound, you'll be able to feel it.
Well,
you get goosebumps and some other things. But that's a new thing of research I'd really like to see some people get into. So if you do, contact me and let me hear about it. Definitely they'll be contacting you. But that's the new book to being investigated.
Well, I can't wait to see that. Fritz, hold on the line 1 second. We got to pay the bills. Thank you so much for coming on. You're definitely letting us know that this old world gets stranger and stranger.
Hey, Sean, before we go, just a throw out to our Raw Talk conversation earlier, who you were asking about was Keegan. If Keegan shows up, start worrying about poor Glenn.
That's it. Keegan shows up. The Walking Dead's going to get real interesting. Bye-bye, Glenn. So, what do you say we pay some bills, Fritz? Stay on the line.
I'm always ready to pay some of those their bills.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to do it, right? somebody's got to pay for the turkey, Demon Hunter. Anyway, guys, special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors: 102.7 FM, The Hog, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, and Action Audio Apps. Hey, are you listening? They want to know, so check them out at actionaudioapps.net, Creative Commons, and Midnight Syndicate. Thanks for the tunes. Hey, from the haunted back roads of America, this has been another exclusive G&D show interview. Don't go changing America, because you know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Gobble, gobble.